Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Can true freedom be achieved through any political process? If so, what form of government would lead to true freedom? Winston Churchill said that democracy was the worst form of government, except for all the rest. In so-called democratic elections in recent years, we have seen representatives from the terrorist organization Hamas elected to the Palestinian Authority Parliament. We have seen the election of Vladimir Putin in Russia and Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Hamas continues almost daily to attack Israelis from their stronghold in Gaza. Putin continues to try to manipulate the political process in Russia so that he will retain power after his current presidential term expires in the spring of 2008. This past weekend saw a sweeping victory for Vladimir Putin in Russia and a stunning defeat for Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. Putin's victory paves the way for Putin to remain Russia's de facto leader even after he leaves office next spring. Putin described the recent election as a vote of confidence in him. Quote, "I headed the United Russian ticket and, of course, it's a sign of public trust," end of quote. However, the opposition did not see it that way. Opposition leader and former chess champion Garry Kasparov denounced the legitimacy of the vote. Kasparov stated at a news conference that there are no illusions that what is being called elections was the most unfair and dirtiest in the whole history of modern Russia. Kasparov, who leads the other Russian coalition of opposition groups, was arrested in jail for 5 days for leading a protest rally in Moscow, and his group wasn't allowed to run for parliament. Goran Lindmarker, president of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe's Parliamentary Assembly, said, "It was not a fair election. The Bush administration called for an inquiry into voting irregularities. A part of the Bush administration's foreign policy doctrine is to bring democracy to all the peoples of the world." In response to U.S. plans to base parts of a missile defense system in Poland and the Czech Republic, Russian President Vladimir Putin has suspended the application of a key Cold War arms control treaty. Putin signed a decree citing, quote, "exceptional circumstances affecting security" as the reason for the move. Putin's Russia is looking more and more to Syria, Iran, and China for political support than to Western nations. Chavez was apparently sobered by his defeat at the ballot box. The ballot in Venezuela presented voters with a list of constitutional reforms that would have allowed Chavez to stand for a re-election indefinitely, thus making him a virtual dictator for life. We can readily see that even in so-called democratic elections, the results are no more noble than the integrity of the candidates and the educational level of the voters and their ability to discern between what is good and what is evil. The leaders of this current evil age continue striving and struggling for power as they fall more and more under the sway of an anti-Christian spirit. President Bush has often stated that all people have a yearning to be free and that the desire for freedom will eventually overthrow the forces of tyranny. His rhetoric makes his idea of liberty into a quasi-religious faith. Pat Buchanan, in an article in Human Events, an article titled "The Democracy Worshipper," characterized a recent speech by President Bush in Prague as his latest epistle on democracy as mankind's salvation. In that speech, President Bush stated, quote, "Freedom is the design of our Maker and the longing of every soul. Freedom is the dream of every person in every nation in every age," end of quote. Buchanan concludes his article with these lines. "It is one thing to believe democracy is a superior form of government. It is another to worship it or ascribe to it powers or attributes that can ensure permanent peace among nations. As Douglas MacArthur said, citing Plato, only the dead know the end of war. Democracy means rule by the people, and peoples can be as corrupt and bloodthirsty as tyrants and kings." End of quote. We can all agree that the call to freedom can stir the hearts and minds of people as they struggle against the chains of tyranny. School children used to be taught the powerful words of Patrick Henry during the time leading up to the American Revolution. Patrick Henry said, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." But political freedom provides no means for changing human nature. Freedom and liberty are such big statements that a person could spend a lifetime researching and discussing the pros and cons of political freedom and never be able to explore all of its ramifications. But wise men have discovered that freedom, apart from a system of law, leads to anarchy. When there are no institutions in society that provide for the proper training of the moral conscience of its citizens, then each person is left to fend for himself. And we're witnessing today in America, and to some degree in the whole Western world, what would be called social Darwinism. Let the fittest survive. It reminds you of the statement from the book of Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How a person views government and religion depends to a large degree on what their parents have taught them and on cultural conditioning. Children who are reared by Islamic parents don't view democratic government in the same way that we do in Western democracies. To them, religion is more important than politics. In fact, under Sharia law, civil government and religion are not separate entities. In other words, there is a union of religion and state, or as we might say, church and state. So what constitutes freedom for one person may be viewed as evil by another person. In the United States, we witness a titanic cultural shift from traditional Judeo-Christian values to that of individual choice and civil rights. Now, I'm for individual choice and civil rights if people are educated and know the difference between right and wrong, and are able to discern the difference between that which is moral and that which is immoral. Diversity is praised and toleration is preached in the name of political correctness. To step outside the boundaries of political correctness in our world is to commit political and social suicide. Occasionally, someone gets bold and steps outside the bounds of political correctness. Then the media jumps on them like starving wolves ravening the prey. The next day, the seemingly courageous person tries to save his or her career or reputation in political and social circles by backtracking and trying to explain how he or she didn't really mean the way some took it, and he or she is very sorry that someone was offended. Sometimes such apologies will call off the attack dogs, but quite often the person is relegated to the status of a poor, unenlightened Neanderthal in desperate need of rehabilitation. And rehabilitation is one of the key words in today's society. Some people go to jail and the others go to rehab. And you know who goes to rehab. The irony of our times is that in the name of freedom and liberty, we've established the tyranny of political correctness. The great moral issues of the recent past have been relegated to the arena of civil rights. This tyranny of political correctness, in the name of freedom and liberty, permeates all levels of society. Preschool children are now being indoctrinated with the dogma of liberal secular humanism. When you look at our nation today and the fruits of the secular humanists, one has to wonder, what next? You wonder how far this nonsense is going to go. Is anyone really going to stop it? The social barometers that measure the moral, mental, psychological, physical, and spiritual health of our people, these barometers cry out every day from the streets of the inner city to the posh, plush social climbers in suburbia. The U.S. has more people in prison per capita than any other nation on the face of the earth. Can we lay this sad statistic at the feet of our democratic form of government? Who is responsible for the wave of criminal behavior, drug addiction, broken homes, illegitimate pregnancies, rampant disease, and political corruption? One of the things that we can conclude about the moral and spiritual state of our nation, that even in a democratic form of government, there is no guarantee that the character of its people will be any better than the character of those who live in a more autocratic form of government. Massachusetts lawmakers are debating legislation that would prohibit parents from spanking their children. You could go to jail for spanking your children if this law is passed. Such a law is in direct contradiction of common sense and the truth about child rearing. A child that is left without discipline feels unloved and unwanted. The Bible makes this very clear, and of course, a common sense and practice over centuries also bears living and mute testimony, both living and dead, to this very point. Doesn't anybody care anymore what happens to our youth and the direction the pseudo-intellectualism is taking us? A pseudo-intellectual writes a book called God Is Not Great, and he is asked to appear on virtually every talk show in the nation, both television and radio. Most of the hosts are in awe of the so-called intellect as he tries to convince us that the universe and all therein is the result of some kind of evolutionary process. When one looks at the design of just our solar system, apart from the many other galaxies and wonders of the universe, we just look at our own solar system and its many intricate movements, with the Earth revolving around the Sun, tilted on its axis at 23 degrees, accounting for the four seasons, the Earth spinning on its axis, accounting for night and day, the Earth faithfully remaining in its orbit as it is suspended in space, and on we could go with the many marvels of just our solar system. Not to mention the marvels of the human mind and the human body. How could anyone believe that all of what we experience just with our five senses came into existence apart from a superior intellect? It requires far more faith and belief in hocus-pocus science to believe the marvels of the creation and human existence is a result of an evolutionary process than to believe in the great Creator God. Which one makes more sense? You want to talk about unenlightened thinking? Think about all of this coming into being from nothingness apart from a great Creator God. Yet we see people worshiping at the feet of these pseudo-intellectuals. It is better to have a grain of common sense than a storehouse of pseudo-intellectualism. So don't be intimidated by any of this pseudo-intellectualism parading under the banner of science. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question of what is true freedom? What is the most essential understanding to understand what true freedom is all about? The Bible gives us great insight as to what true freedom is all about. Jesus Christ says in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 11:6 that those who would come to God must first of all believe that He is. In other words, you have to believe in the existence of God. That is the very first article of faith, to believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you really know and know that you know that God exists? He is who He says He is, and He means what He says. We have a booklet that will help you understand the very existence of God. The booklet titled The Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? In addition to that, you need to know why you were born, why you draw breath. Like the cartoon from the Peanuts comic strip, Peanuts is sitting there and he says, "Sometimes I lie awake at night wondering why I was born. Why was I put on this earth? And what am I doing here?" And then suddenly it hits me, I haven't got the faintest idea. Do you have the faintest idea as to why you exist, why you're here? Well, we can help you understand, help you to prove the very existence of God, and also to help you understand who you are, and what your purpose is. All you have to do to receive these free booklets, The Ultimate Question, Does God Exist, and What Is Your Destiny, is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, we readily discern that in order for a free society to work, its citizens must be people of good will and be willing to be their neighbor's keeper. The Western world is beginning to pay a dear price for its shift to a secular, atheistic society. WorldNet Daily reports that many of America's top-selling books right now are angry-in-your-face atheist manifestos. The report quotes David Steinberger, CEO of Perseus Books, who boldly asserts, quote, "This is atheism's moment as he celebrates the tremendous success of anti-God bestsellers like God Is Not Great, Why Religion Poisons Everything by journalist Christopher Hitchens, and The God Delusion by Oxford evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins." Steinberger states, "Mr. Hitchens has written the category killer," he says, "and we're excited about having his next book, publishing it, book title, The Pocket Atheist, featuring the writings of famous atheists, edited by Hitchens." In earlier eras, atheists were on the fringes of society, mistrusted by the mainstream. But today, that is no longer the case. They are mainstream, as evidenced by the fact that Hitchens' number one New York Times bestseller has dominated the charts for months now. And in this book, he boldly condemns religion, and that includes, of course, Christianity, as, quote, "violent, irrational, intolerant, allied to racism, tribalism, and bigotry, invested in ignorance and hostile to free inquiry, contemptuous of women, and coercive toward children," end of quote. The religious cultural warfare that is being waged by the pseudo-intellectual God-doubters is more dangerous than the warfare being waged by terrorists in the Middle East. And why would I say that? The battle is for your mind and what you believe and think about. what you think about life, about marriage and family, about what good is good and evil, and about God, and whether or not God exists, and is he concerned about the sons of men. So much of this talk about religion and God stems from the fact that people don't really understand the plan and purpose of God. And that's why you need to write or call for our free booklet, The Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? And What Is Your Destiny? So you will know and know that you know that God exists and what his purpose is and what your purpose is here on earth. All of these things are ultimately spiritually based. Things about life, about marriage and family, about what is good and what is evil, and about God. All of these things are ultimately spiritually based. The pseudo-intellectuals would have you believe there is no God and that each person is free to do his own thing as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. The logical fallacy of this thinking is that you decide what hurts someone else and thus you take his or her freedom from him or her. The ultimate battle is for your life essence, that is, whether or not you will live in eternity or whether you will experience the second death in Gehenna fire, from which, of course, there is no second resurrection. There is no resurrection from the second death. One of the great paradoxes that is inherent in this pseudo-intellectual secular humanism that espouses atheism is that to really believe there is no God is to confess your mortality. That is, you die and that's it. Yet I would venture to say that very few people can conceive of their non-existence. You cannot be an atheist and believe in life after death. Atheism and eternal life are mutually exclusive. Yet we see and hear journalists and so-called celebrities worshiping at the feet of the secular humanist and almost in the same breath talking about their spirituality. One of the watchwords of the day is spiritual. Talk show host asks the guest, are you religious? Celebrity responds, I wouldn't say that I'm religious, but that I am spiritual. What on earth do they mean by that? It basically means that he or she has tuned into the teaching of some kind of spiritual guru. Would you say that you are spiritual? Do you have a spiritual life? And do you know the road to true freedom? As we have noted in this program, political freedom and a democratic form of government does not guarantee freedom of mind and spirit. To be truly free, you must be free from fear, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man. Jesus said in John 8:31, and he was talking to some of the God doubters of his day, though they professed to believe in God, the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are you to my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oftentimes, people just quote John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But as you will note from verse 31, that to know the truth that makes you free, in order to know the truth that makes you free, you must continue in his word. Jesus tells us in John 17:17, that we are sanctified, it's really a prayer that Jesus Christ is praying, in which he says to the Father, sanctify them through your truth. That means set them apart. And then he goes on to say, your word is truth. And Jesus states in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So if you want to be spiritual, then you must eat and drink of the words of life, the word of God. Jesus equates the words he speaks with the spirit and life. If you want to be free and free indeed, then you need to open the pages of your Bible and begin to learn how you can be set free from fear, guilt, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man. Then, if you really want to be set free from all these things, then you must go to the source of true freedom. Political freedom is a wonderful thing when used by men and women of goodwill, since it allows one to have the freedom to search out the truth. In today's world, with the launching of the internet and the democratization of information, you have access to information even if you live in countries that have autocratic governments. But we see every wind of doctrine posted parading under the banner of truth. So the democratization of information can be a blessing or a curse. A blessing in that all of this precious knowledge and information has been available to the masses. But much of this so-called knowledge and information is pure fable. It is not true. It's a fabrication. So it is a curse in that it's difficult to sort out truth from error. But if you believe what Jesus said, that is, the Word of God is the truth, then you have a way of discerning whether or not what is being spoken is the truth. The prophet Isaiah writes, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So you have a way of measuring. Regardless of the political system, socioeconomic status, or any other limitation, you can be set free in mind and spirit. Learn the truth about the nature of God and the purpose of human existence. Once again, call for the free booklets. Remember, we quoted John 8:31 and 32, where Jesus said, "If you continue in His Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The context of Jesus' words centered on a heated debate that he was having with the God-doubters of his day. Note their response to his often-quoted words of knowing the truth and being set free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever." Then Jesus goes on to say, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And Jesus was talking about spiritual freedom. You can have this ultimate spiritual freedom. The greatest servitude of all is the servitude of sin, since the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the last part of Romans 6:23. And as the Apostle Paul writes, "Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Yes, when you are freed from sin, you can become the servant of righteousness and not be a bond slave to sin. This is the ultimate and true freedom. So the ultimate freedom is achieved by the Son setting you free from the penalty of sin, for the wages of sin is death. You could begin your quest for ultimate freedom today. Open the pages of your Bible and learn the truth of God and call for the free literature. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. We'll send you the booklet on the existence of God and what is your destiny. If you really want to experience true freedom and be set free from fear, guilt, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man, call that toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station next week.